Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what are the 10 spheres of Kabbalah? Sarah Sonneborn is an Israeli historian. She has a master's degree in the history of Spain and Sephardi Judaism from the University of Alcalá de Henares in Spain, and has done doctoral studies in Spanish and universal history at Bar-Ilan University in Israel and the Spanish National Regional Council. Sarah has been a lecturer at the Institute of History at Heinrich Heine University in Dusseldorf, Germany, and has also taught at the University of Haifa, Bar-Ilan University, and IDC Herzliya in Israel. She currently lives in Madrid, where she works with youth in the education department of the Jewish community. Aside from her expertise in history, Sarah is very knowledgeable about Kabbalah, and this week she's sharing some of her knowledge with us. If you're interested in learning more about Kabbalah, Sarah recommends reading The 13 Petaled Rose by Adin Steinsaltz, so we've included a link to it on this page. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Sarah. Could you first briefly tell us what Kabbalah is?
Yes, Kabbalah is the essence of spiritual Judaism. And Kabbalah it comes from Spain. The origin is Spain. Kabbalah is first appeared in third century from Shimon Bar Yochai. They say it's the first one who bring spirituality into Judaism. And later, they appeared in 1110 until 1180, the Sefer HaKabbalah, Book of Kabbalah, from Avraham Ibn Daud. He is from Cordoba. Later, the famous book Zohar from Moshe de Leon. He is originally from Avila, and in between 1280 and 1286, the Book of Zohar was written.
So, Kabbalah began in the 3rd century?
Yeah, it was from Shimon Bar Yochai. It was the first time. And then, as I said, Avraham Ibn Daud from Cordoba, 1110 until 1180, He wrote Sefer HaKabbalah and other books. And then later, Moshe de Leon from Avila, he is the author of Zohar. And this book of Zohar is written between 1280 to 1286. And later, after the expulsion from Jews from Spain in 1492, Spanish Jews looked for a place similar than you from in Spain. So they went to the north of Israel. They have water and green and mountains. And so Jews lived in Tzfat. And some very important Kabbalist is Isaac Luria. He continued the Kabbalistic work there and others too. And they're still in Har Meron. It's next to Sfat. It's a mountain. So they celebrate every year.
What exactly does it consist of? You say that it's a spiritual aspect of Judaism, but what exactly is it?
The Kabbalists, they call it Kabbalah. It's like a tree of life. So we are connected with our roots into the earth. And in Hebrew, earth is Adama. And person in Hebrew is Adam. So Adam, the Adama, is very similar. And so we are like a tree with our roots in the earth. And we have our branches. We have it all over into the universe. And we say there's a divine essence. They speak in Kabbalah about a divine essence. And the divine essence is everywhere, and it comes just opposite back to us from what Magen David says, what the Star of David says. It's like a person is his body, and it is his soul and his spirit, and the other a triangle comes from divine essence, and the combination is our Star of David, and it comes from Isaac Luria. From the Kabbalist, before we did not use the Star of David as a symbol. It's new. It comes since 16th century. Before we used the menorah.
How would you explain what Kabbalah is to somebody who has absolutely no idea? Because everybody has heard of Kabbalah,
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who just hear the word and don't know what it is.
Okay, so I wanted to speak about a special book. I speak about a book. It's called The 13-Petaled Rose, and it's written from a very famous Talmud expert, from Adin Steinsaltz. And this book just says what is Kabbalah and explains what the essence is. In general, when we say it simple, it's a search for oneself. And normally, when people are on a difficult situation in life, they're starting to look for a path to find themselves, to find their identity. And we say everyone is built as a divine essence. Everybody has his neshama and his soul. His soul. No, it's a different thing.
Really?
We have in English only soul, and it's soul is nefesh. But if you combine it with your spirit, it becomes neshama. So if you're going to the path of searching for yourself, it becomes neshama. So in Hebrew you have two words. You have nefesh and neshama. So it's very difficult to say it in English. But, I mean, it's a way to find yourself. And even the most ignorant person has it in it. Not everybody is using it. And normally people are changing, they make a tikkun, a correction, when something happened in life to them, normally. And so the path to yourself, they have some instructions. First, in Kabbalah, they speak about the 10 sefirot. There are different spheres in a superior world. And the 10 sefirot, I will just mention what they are. It's Malchut, it's Kingdom, Yesod, Foundation, Netzach, Eternity, Hot is Splendor. Then we come to Tiferet, it's Beauty, Harmony, Truth, Compassion. Then we have Gvura, it's Power, Chesed is Grace, Chochmah is Wisdom, Bina, Understanding, and Keter, it's the crown. It's just the divine essence.
So there
are no levels. Every person has his own and individual path. So you cannot say you reach a special level. Everybody has his own path. There is no way. There are no instructions. And one important thing in Kabbalah is too, nobody can tell you what you have to do. And everything what is written, what is important, is not written. So you have to find your path for yourself and to follow a few steps to become yourself and to discover your true, what you're meant to be, your true identity.
So these spheres,
mm-hmm.
Are spheres that everybody has, and they're not in any particular order?
No, they are just there. It's not a particular order. It's just you can combine them anyway. You can sometimes you reach one or another sphere, but you get messages. You know, you have to believe in angels. You have to believe in angels because they exist. And angels are messengers. And in Kabbalah they say you feel it through your emotions, through your soul, through your heart. You feel. And you can later identify these messages.
Let me ask you, these spheres are outside of the person, or these spheres are inside
everywhere.
The person?
It's not in a person. It's It's just there in our universe. It's just there in our universe.
And so each person has to find them?
Yes, each person has to find them. And everybody has his own path, his own individual path. So then you cannot make Kabbalah in a group or something. It is impossible. It is your own individual path, and you have a few rules to follow.
Aha, uh-huh. So tell us what those rules are.
First, as you say, if you start with Kabbalah and to be interested in Kabbalah, you have to forget about your past. I mean, not about your experiences, of course not. You have your chronological past and you cannot forget everything. But you have to try to become a different person, yourself. And you don't have to, like, lots of people are living in their past completely and comparing and talking about their past all the time. In Kabbalah, they said your first step, leave the past behind. If you make a new step, if you go into your and to find your own identity, you become a different person. And so, this is true. And later, the second step is don't talk about other people, because everything you do has an influence in the universe. If you speak bad about other people, it's reflecting on your soul. So lashon hara, like you say it in Hebrew, it makes an impact. So never speak about other people and be patient when you listen to other people. Don't judge. And then your next path is don't think bad about other people. It's even more difficult. Sometimes we are very quick to judge, to think about somebody, but even our thoughts have an impact. And you can feel it sometimes. If you are a sensitive person, we don't have to talk a lot. You feel the vibration of another person. And then we come to a point, we have to find silence. We have to find silence and peace. Like our main... And most important prayer in Judaism is Shema Yisrael. Shema is listen. And to listen, you have to have silence. And so you have to find peace in yourself. And what I said, everybody has is divine essential in himself, but not everyone wants to discover it.
So there must be some kind of guidance in order to do this, or is this just somebody, I mean, if somebody decides to do this out of the blue, they can't just do it all by themselves. They must have some kind of guidance, no?
Yeah, in Judaism we say normally people, chuzrim l'tshuva, they're looking for an answer. L'tshuva is they're looking for an answer. They want to change their way of life. And we speak about tikkun. Tikkun is something different. Tikkun is like a correction. So you're going a different path and you want to correct and you want to get answers. And in Judaism, we have something very easy. We have 613 mitzvot. And the 613 mitzvot, It's like to guide you. I mean, nobody can complete 613 mitzvot, but they are guiding you on the right way. Now, even with kosher food, it has a spiritual cleanness inside too. The kosher food is that we are not eating just anything. We eat pure food and we make a celebration out of it. We have a prayer, we have a blessing for everything. So it's very much connected to practical Judaism.
I had heard that the 613 mitzvot were only for men and that women didn't have to follow all of them. Is that true?
No, it is not true. It's not half of 613 mitzvot. Are things you are not supposed to do. So and the rest, there are so many things you can do. But main issue is become a good person, and find your harmony. And the mitzvot are only helping you to achieve it. And the important point is, don't be afraid. To be afraid don't bring you anywhere, because it only holds you back. And when somebody is afraid, he doesn't make a good work. You can only work good and be creative when you feel free and without fear.
But you said that this is something that a person has to do for themselves and by themselves. Mm-hmm. And how can people do this without any kind of support?
Normally they have support. Support when you find a person and a wise person will not tell somebody what he has to do, as long as he is not asking. So through the you ask, tshuva is you want an answer. So you're asking a special question, so you will get an answer. But before you don't ask the question, you will don't get the answer. No, it's not right to tell somebody what he has to do. But when he asks you for help as a wise person, you can give him some instruction. And he will find the right books, the right people, and they're getting him on his right way.
And something that I think is interesting that you're saying is this individual aspect of Kabbalah, because I think something I've always found interesting is this traditional way that Jews have of studying in pairs and asking each other questions and coming to conclusions in pairs, and yet this is something that seems to be just very personal and individual.
Absolutely, because every person is a unique soul. There are no souls similar. Like people say, you're my soulmate, and lots of things. But maybe you feel comfortable with somebody else. But the soul is the most individual thing. That's why it's so important for Judaism. You cannot replace somebody. It's every single person is this unique soul.
For a long time, I know, especially in the 60s, but I think that for a long time in general, people have been looking for some kind of spirituality. I remember in the 60s, people went to India or people went to Tibet. How is Kabbalah different from other kinds of esoteric activities in which people are looking for something spiritual?
I mean, it's a pity. And even in Kabbalah, we have sometimes, they are Kabbalists. They are just telling other people what they have to do to find their path. But we have to be careful, because if somebody is telling you what you have to do, be careful. We are not you saw it in India when you mentioned these movements. People, when they are desperate and looking for help, there are somebody who are, and asking, there are other people sometimes who are filling your mouth and ears with words you don't really need in your way. So Kabbalah is an individual thing and an individual path. You can only have some instructions from a wise person who gives you the right answers on the right way, and never together and never in a group.
Now, these steps that you've mentioned don't seem to be directly connected to Judaism.
They are.
How are they directly connected to Judaism?
Because when we practice Judaism, like what I said, the mitzvot is just a way to become a better person. And to our dietary laws and everything has to do with Judaism, of course, when you follow Kabbalah, because we have for every food we have a special prayer, so we bring everything we do into our conscious. That's another step in Kabbalah. So everything you do in your life, you make it conscious, you make it good.
So if Kabbalah is so directly connected to Judaism and to the mitzvot, how do you think that it has become so popular recently with people like Madonna? Or, you know, everybody says Madonna, but I mean people who've gone to Israel or wherever to study Kabbalah. Can you speak about that? What do they get from it, or what do they...
Because we are now our world is so material. It's really a material world, like Madonna, you said. and people get so focused on on work, on success, on money, on all kinds of things. And in Judaism too, a little bit, it's very pragmatic. We have to do this, it's forbidden, this is allowed. So people are on search for spirituality and for meaning in their life. So, and then we have, they search for something, and it's good when they search Kabbalah.
Why do you think people who have had no contact with Judaism all of a sudden feel that they're discovering Kabbalah rather than something else, rather than a guru? I don't know.
I mean, maybe last time it's fashionable. There are a lot of people, they call themselves Kabbalists, and they are teaching and very popular. But I am a little bit afraid of all kind of movements like that, because I think it's a very individual path. And I would suggest every Jew and everybody who wants to get more knowledge about, to read the book 13 Petaled Rose from Adin Steinseif. I think it's right book to read to get to know yourself. It has, in Judaism, it has something to do, because as I say, when Mashiach, we speak about the Mashiach, the Messiah, when he comes, in Kabbalah they say the Messiah is not a person. It is a situation when everybody has perfect his own soul, and we have a good society and we have peace. So that's the Messiah. So we have to do this path, and everybody has to do it, somewhen and somehow. And if you don't do it in this life, you have to wait for another life, to another, when you get reincarnated.
Do you think that there are many people nowadays who are real Kabbalists, or is it something that happened centuries ago and the people now are just kind of going along with it because it's fashionable?
It's difficult to say real or not real, and people are calling themselves sometimes Kabbalists, but I don't want to judge them, because we said we don't have to judge people. So, and everybody is free to choose whatever way he wants to join some Kabbalist who's famous, and they are all over the world. There are lessons and internet, and there's a channel in Israel all day Kabbalah. But I've never been into this kind of Kabbalah lessons and streams. I prefer my own way.
Yeah, because you mentioned that there are modern deviations and pitfalls, and I know that if you look up Kabbalah on the internet, you can get lessons, especially if you pay for them. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Oh, you don't have to pay for it. I don't think they charge money. It's for free. But it's a stream of people, and they feel comfortable together. Like always, groups, they are looking for an identity. It doesn't matter whatever, no. It's in religion, you have it everywhere, in different streams of, like, even yoga. I mean, you have people who are vegans now, who have a special ideology, and they feel comfortable with their own group. So that's what but I'm an individualist. I was never looking for somebody to guide me, to tell me. I found my books, my literature, and wise people.
Okay, so if somebody is interested in pursuing this, they can do it on their own, and you're suggesting that they read The 13 Petaled Rose.
Yes.
What if they can't find this book? Is there anything else that you can recommend?
No, maybe you come, if you're aware and you practice religion, and you try to do these steps I just mentioned, not to judge, not to think bad about other people, not to live in your past, to try to get your life in order, in harmony. So I think it's a few steps you can do, and you will. I'm sure if you're on a way and you search, you will find the right people and right books to read to get forward in your path to your own identity.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
So we spoke about perfection of ourselves. So we want to get correct ourselves, to get perfect. But if you try to do it to manipulate other people or to have power over other people, it's in vain. You will not find your path because it's not meant to be like that. And even say, if I want to perfect myself, it's so vain. But we, in Kabbalah, we speak about the rose always, and we said, in when we are beautiful like a rose, we will give our beauty away to all the garden. So it's important if you reach a special level to give something back to your community and to others.
Thank you very much. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner @RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.